A show of solidarity as Moldova calls for international support. The US Secretary of State is visiting one of Europe's poorest and smallest countries that shares a border with Ukraine.
In the 30 years since Moldova and the United States began diplomatic relations, we've never faced a moment as urgent and as challenging as the one that we face today. Russia's unprovoked, unwarranted war on Ukraine has kicked off a humanitarian crisis that is already having a vast effect across the region, including here in the Republic of Moldova.
Moldova didn't choose to be involved, but these are the implications of a war on its doorstep. Nearly a quarter of a million people have crossed its border from Ukraine in just 10 days, the second largest number of refugees after Poland. Moldova warns it's fast running out of options to keep up with the influx, which is expected to rise in the coming days.
Only through joint and consistent efforts from all the partners, we can help out Ukraine. First of all, we need rapid assistance and involvement of the international community to stop the battle and restore the peace.
The International Monetary Fund is considering Moldova's request to make changes to its existing IMF-supported programs to help the refugees. But Moldova's concerns don't stop there. It faces a security threat on its eastern border. Russian-backed separatists control the region of Transnistria. The disputed territory has its own government, currency, and around 6,000 paratroopers since it fought a bitter civil war with Moldova in 1992. But it isn't recognized internationally, and Russia has repeatedly ignored calls to remove around 1,500 of its troops who've been stationed there ever since. The area also has what is thought to be one of the biggest ammunition depots in Eastern Europe.
There is a fundamental disagreement between Moldovans and Transnistrian leadership, and this is the path, the development path that they want to choose. Moldova always declared that it wanted to integrate economically with Europe, and that's why it was seeking membership with the European Union. And Transnistria was seeking alignment with Russia.
Alignments made clearer on Thursday when Moldova and Georgia followed Ukraine's footsteps and applied to join the European Union, a process in the making for years, but fast-tracked in just a matter of days. Sara Khairat, Al Jazeera.
Antony Blinken's also saying the US may send planes to Poland to backfill Warsaw's numbers if the Polish government sends some of its own planes to help Ukraine.
We are looking actively now at the question of airplanes that Poland may provide to Ukraine, and looking at how we might be able to backfill should Poland decide to produce those supply those planes. Can't speak to a timeline, but I can just tell you we're looking at it very, very actively.
Russia's warned countries against hosting Ukrainian military aircraft. The defense military says they'd be regarded as being involved in the conflict. Earlier, President Vladimir Putin says the invasion will only be halted if Ukraine stops what he calls its hostilities. He's blamed the Kyiv government for the fighting. Frank Ledwidge is a senior lecturer in military capabilities and strategy at the University of Portsmouth. He's also a former military officer who served in the Balkans, in Iraq and Afghanistan. He says the Russian campaign in Ukraine appears to be lacking in preparation and planning.
Well, I think most analysts, people like myself, take the view that the Ukrainians are coming up to proof. We expected them to be effective. They've been ready for this for years. They've been trained by Western forces. And if you look at the way their regular forces look, the way they present themselves very much like NATO forces, like British, American, French or German troops, professional, well-equipped and so forth. What's really shocking, though, is the way the Russian forces have essentially, I use this word hesitatingly, collapsed over the last 10 days or so. The much vaunted combined arms operations force that learned so much from their conflicts over the last few years, it's proving to be a bit of a paper tiger at the moment. But nonetheless, that paper tiger is soon going to turn into something that's really deadly for the people of Ukraine. It's a failure of planning, of preparation and logistics. It's very clear that those troops from we see this from captured POW accounts, we see this from fairly objective reports, the troops weren't ready for what's going to happen. They were not briefed properly, weren't prepared. Their logistics, which is the most important element of military operations, Professionals talk logistics, amateurs talk tactics. And the Russians have failed in their logistics here. And they failed largely, I think, because they overestimated their own capabilities and underestimated the Ukrainians. And particularly with respect to their own capabilities, they failed to deal with the trivia, with what you or I, many people might regard as trivia, fueling, food, general supplies. What routes are you going to take? How are you going to space your vehicles? How are you going to echelon your attack? That's how you're going to organize and arrange your attack. And this all speaks to a real lack of preparation and a real lack of planning. And that's the most difficult part of a military operation, is getting things right early, getting things right well in time for your operations. And it's very clear the Russians haven't done that.